With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I sound like that sitcom, like Welcome Back, Kotter. Remember? Welcome back to Yay You, because you are you unapologetically. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So we've been doing this thing about the weight of your words. We've been doing it for a minute, so you guys know what we're talking about. And it's definitely stirring up some juicy conversations. I'm loving it. I am so loving it. And as always, you guys know it is an honor. We truly, truly appreciate you all being here, joining with us. We are so grateful. We're grateful that you take the time out to listen to this podcast. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't be a podcast. Podcast, right? So I just want you guys to know we thank you for it. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So how about we just jump in, right? Just like we've been doing before. Let's just jump in the conversation and get this thing going. So here's the thing. When it comes to strangers, first time acquaintances, or people we do not know, what do you say to them? What do you say to them? Do you watch your words? And when it comes to, let's say, more intimate relationship with the people that are in our life, such as our family, friends, those type of relationships, people that we love. Yeah. What do you say to them? Do you watch your words? See, we know that words are very, 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 very powerful. And our discussion is just on that, right? Powerful words are. And how do you use your words? We know they are so powerful, words that is so powerful. We know that they're even more powerful in an intimate relationship. The heavier the words become, right, the greater capacity for us to wound, for us to hurt someone, for us to leave a mark or a scar. Get this, even those words that are left unsaid. Yes, unsaid words, unsaid phrases have the potential to impact the trajectory of a person's life. I share this on the episodes that I have witnessed. I have witnessed people. I have witnessed young people, old people. And I say old meaning seasoned, right? Single, just people in general, in tears because of a phrase that was never heard. They never heard something from their mother. They never heard a word, which they wish they would have heard, right? From their father, such as, I love you. I'm proud of you. Great job. You are important. Right? You are valuable. Oh, I appreciate you. How about this? Thank you. Wait, how about I'm sorry and please forgive me? See, in fact, unspoken words have just as much impact as spoken words on our lives. So my point is this, words are powerful and words carry weight. Get that? Words are powerful and they carry weight, which leads to asking the question, how heavy are your words? How heavy are your words? You guys know that I am a Jesus follower. And so with that, I use the word of God, the Bible, for those who are not familiar with his word, as my anchor, right? And so I want to share with you a couple of scriptures that speaks to exactly what I'm talking about. Ephesians 4 is the fourth chapter, 29th verse of the book of Ephesians. It says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up and according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. James, in the first chapter of the book of James, the 19th verse, he's saying, remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and should not get angry easily. James also, I was speaking about the tongue, right? He indicated it was unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. He says, humankind in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says, humankind contain beasts and birds and reptiles and creation in the sea, right? Yet we cannot tame our own tongue. The scripture says no man or woman can tame the tongue. And like I said before, James, he said, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But we use this tongue, we use our tongue to create words. And since the beginning of creation, our lives has been shaped by words spoken to us, over us, at us, and about us. Words spoken and unspoken. They shaped our childhood. They shaped our relationship. They built, they undermined, they destroyed. And in some instances, they also rebuilt marriages. Right? Words spoken to us, at us, over us, confidence, so much so that they determine to some extent who is actually in the mirror, who we see in the mirror, right? These words that were spoken to us, they're heavy words. So how heavy are the words you speak? Have you ever been crushed by someone's words? I have, right? And if you haven't, you will. Right. So I know that those of us who have, you get what I'm saying, because now I don't believe any of us are exempt from being crushed from someone else's words that they used on us. We all have been injured in some kind of way, some form or fashion by someone else's words. And so, yes, words carry weight, words spoken and unspoken. Yes, they leave marks. Some are good marks. Right. But we're talking about some bad marks, right? Words build and they destroy, they discourage and they inspire. And sometimes words wound our lives, mine included. And so we've all been impacted by spoken words. And like I said, these words to us, at us, over us, about us, right? But to us. And so my life, your life, our lives has been shaped. No ifs, ands, buts about it. About words. And so here's what I want us to talk about as well. So words that we want to hear, words that we don't want to hear. And so here's the thing. We're quick to recognize the words that were spoken to us, particularly those that hurt us, right? We're very, very quick to recognize that. We can tell you the date, the time. We can tell you who said what and how they said it, right? And where you were when it happened. But we are very, very, very slow to recognize or to admit, slow to admit the fact that our words, the words we speak, spoken or unspoken, have equal power on other people's lives. No, it isn't easy to admit that you've been impacted by other people's words. I'm sorry, it is easy, but we don't admit when we hurt someone else. So when it comes to us doing it, right, we make excuses. We may say things such as, I'm just joking, or I'm just being honest. I'm just being real, right, with it. Or my words don't really mean anything, where in fact they do. Words have weight. And they weigh heavy, especially when it lands on somebody. And so consequently, we don't want to be honest about this fact that we use our words irresponsibly. We do. We do. And so we'll say it wasn't on purpose or that's not true or you know what I mean? Like we do that. And so I just want us to understand and realize that words are not equally weighted, right? I need you to understand that. We said words are powerful, they have weight, but they're not equally weighted. So negative words weigh way more than positive words. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And then even more so when you're in a relationship with someone, someone you love, your mother, your sister, your brother, your friend, right? Those words that you use, those negative words that you use weigh even more. In fact, research says that when you use a negative word on someone, it takes 5 to 9 positive words to counterbalance it. And that's just someone platonic, you're not in a relationship with them or anything like that. But it's different when you're in a relationship with someone. Research says it takes 25 to 30 positive words to counterbalance that one negative word. So I said words have weights, but they're not weighted equally, right? So someone that is dear to us, is close to us, you know, those words that they say to us or we say to them will land even heavier, right? Will land even heavier. Why? Because the source determines the weight. The source of who is saying what they're saying determines the weight. And so when you're in that conversation, we all have to be conscious of that and pay attention, especially when we're in a conversation with the people that we love. We must remember who we're in that conversation with and who are we representing when we're in that conversation as well. And so we got to think about who am I and what do I represent to that person who I'm saying these things to, right? Because our words will create or make or have major damage, right? And we can't go just because we're in a relationship with them, they're our brother, our sister, our mother, our cousin. We can't act as if that it doesn't hurt them or that it doesn't matter. See, your words, my words, our words, all of our words carry weight and they're not equally weighted, right? They're not equally weighted. So particularly speaking, parents, when you're talking to your children, husbands, when you're talking to your wives, bosses, right? Employers, when you're talking to your employees, when you're talking to your best friends, people that are close to you, people that you say you love and they say you love, they love you back. So we know that words have the potential to destroy and to build up, to undermine and to inspire. And so the fact of the matter is that the weight of your words, the weight of your words, let me say that again, the weight of your words impact lives. It impact lives. And so, yeah, we're in this series. Remember, we do a topic and we invite a diverse of guests on to discuss the same topic. And we do that for a reason, because we want different perspective. We all grew up in different households, right? Because y'all didn't live in my household, right? And I didn't live in yours. And so we all have different backgrounds, different cultures, different beliefs. And so we want to share that with our listeners. So before we jump into the discussion, I want to ask, what is the weight of your words? And what damage are they producing? What results are they generating? Are you building or are you destroying? So let me introduce you to our exciting and wonderful guest, so we can jump into this conversation and really more dialogue around this topic from someone who's coming in with a different perspective. So with more than 30 years of experience in the field of personal and professional leadership development, our guest is much more than an executive coach. He meets high-performing professional leaders of any sector at the intersection of the personal and professional so that they protect their priorities, lead better, love better, and live better through his coaching, mentorship, and consulting services. He is also a passionate consultant, educator, and speaker about varying elements of the management of the human element in personal, professional, intercultural, and organizational contexts. Our guest has enjoyed a broad international and intercultural experience in leadership, education, and consulting roles in Italy, Ireland, England. Wait a minute, I'm not done. Colombia, Chile, and Mexico, as well as having been a special staff officer and chaplain in the United States Navy, right? Serving with both sailors and Marines. So he is an ICF professional certified coach. He completed specialized graduate degrees in spiritual theology and human development from universities in Rome, Italy, specialized studies in counseling, Family and Education at Los Andes University in Chile, and a master degree in the psychology of leadership from Pennsylvania State University. Please, you guys, help me to welcome our phenomenal and exciting guest, right, Mr. Matthew Brackett. Please welcome, welcome, welcome to Yay You, because you are you unapologetically. Welcome, Matthew. It is so glad for you to be here. Thank you so much for saying yes. Truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to be here with you. And I never had someone read my bio so enthusiastically and passionately. So thank you for that.
You are so welcome. I get that a lot. They're like, oh my gosh, like you really, right? So, and I'm like, yeah, because you are. So you're so welcome. Thank you again for being here. Truly appreciate it. So before we dive in, I ask all of my guests to share with our listeners how we met. Right? How did we meet?
That's a very simple story. We have a friend and also a podcast agent in common, who is Noemi. And she introduced us. She reached out to me and said, I think you would be a great guest on the show. And I suppose she reached out to you, got your green light, see if you were interested. And then she got me on your schedule and we met, we talked a little bit. And then here we are today recording our episode.
Yay, yay, yay. So I always like guests an opportunity to share how we met, because I can meet someone like walking down the street. And I love meeting people. I love interacting with people. So I want our listeners and our watchers to know, right, how we actually met. Okay. So the first question, again, this is a dialogue, but here's a question that I also ask as well. What does it mean to you to be you unapologetically?
Yes. You know, I've been on a journey. I think for all of us as human beings, coming home to ourselves is a journey. And it's something that I think we do it every day, every year. And who knows if we ever get there totally, because it's always a path. I like to say that we are, quoting a philosopher, that we are a mystery unto ourselves. So getting to know ourselves, it's just also a lifelong journey. We're always discovering new things. So I preface my answer with that, because I struggle with, I'm going to challenge the title of your podcast, not because I don't like it, but just for the sake of a good conversation. When we say unapologetically, I'm very careful when I say that, because I think knowing how to apologize is important.
Absolutely.
And also knowing how to read my surroundings is very important. There's a very extreme tendency in our society, in the Western world, in the States in a special way, of this radicalization of the self, where I am the center. And so therefore, it's all about me. And I can steamroll over anybody and anyone because I am unapologetically me. I know that's not what you mean by the title, but we see that a lot in society. Well, you know, it's all about me. I'm me. And so I steamroll over other people because this is who I am. And I don't care about anybody else. That's what we have to be careful with. Now, understanding what unapologetically me, you know, from the podcast, what that means is really, first of all, to get to know ourselves and to grow into ourselves and to come home to ourselves, so that into our identity of who we are, it's robed in this healthy confidence. And this healthy humility.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And so that we're grounded, and but healthy confidence, healthy humility, where we're grounded because we're neither too much, but we're also not too little. We are very comfortable with where we're at, knowing that we're on a journey. And I think that's what it means, you know. And so sort of like the low self-esteem or all the other stuff is like, well, you know, I'm nothing. I'm not worth much. And we let people walk all over. So then the unapologetically, the other extreme is that we walk all over other people. And that's talking about words and talking about who, that's not the dignity of who we are as human beings. But being able to just be who we are, find comfort and peace in that, and to know how to do that. And not to have to, we don't always have to give explanations or reasons. That's what unapologetically is. It's just, and we don't, right? And in the States, I've noticed, it's very funny, I speak a few languages, but in the States and in the English world, I see that people say sorry all the time, right? It's almost like they're apologizing for their existence. And I know it's sort of a crutch word, right? And thankfully, it comes probably from a place of sensitivity. And right, and I spend time with the Marines, as you know. So Marines, they don't say sorry. We got that beat out of us.
They say, oorah, right?
But even, you know, in the Navy, and so even our senior chief, he was like, you don't say sorry. So I learned to say, I apologize. Again, for that culture is very important because just how they equalize sorry. But anyways, in culture, there's sort of like a lot of this, I'm sorry. But we have to also, that you have to be careful not to go too far into that because words mean something, right?
Yeah, that's why we're having this conversation because one, we're not, just like you referenced, someone who feels that they are unapologetically or unapologetic, meaning that person is insecure, that person is all about self, but to be your true self is to serve the world, right? And I say that because it being you unapologetically, it's about you serving that next person with your gifts and your talents that you were created with. You purposely created to be here to not serve yourself, but to serve the world. But we have to be able to go on the inside to identify all those gifts and talents that we have so that we can serve the world. And I know you know this. When we talk about being unapologetically, that means like being in the room and being yourself. Right. And knowing that you are enough right then and there. And just because you showed up in the room will be served. You don't even have to say anything sometimes. You can just stand in a room and smile. And there are people in the room that will be served just from your smile. And that's about being authentic and being true and identifying your true self. Right. No, I know you knew this, but I just wanted to share that like some people do show up arrogant and thinking it's all about them. In actuality, they're not trying to serve the world. One, then two, they're not being who they were created to be. Right. And so I truly believe that we all are great, each and every one of us. And it's in us. It's been in us since we were knitted in our mama's womb. And so we have everything we need, everything. We have the answers to everything that we need, but it's within us. And so many of us are afraid, fearful to go in. They're fearful. And so this is why we're having this conversation, because we want them to go in. We want them to be themselves, because no one is better at being you than you.
That's right. Everyone else is taken, as they say.
Right.
And you've probably had this experience that when you're in a room with people that are just very confident in just who they are and in their different personality styles, it's so enjoyable because it's easier to get along with people and you're also, it's impressive. And you're like, wow, the way this person shows up. It's so.
Yeah. And I recognize their gifts.
Right. Some people are funny. Some people are quiet. Some people are great at telling stories and everyone's just got their thing going on. But thank you for clarifying that. I think we complement each other in what we say, you know, to build that picture of what this means. And yes, in that people getting, because we do, we are naturally avoidant to our interior. And what's important to, in order to be not only unapologetic, but in order to be authentically yourself, it's important to walk inside and to understand who we are. Because as you said, some people come from a place of lack of confidence. They sort of do overkill, overdrive. That doesn't come across as seemingly natural. And so they don't do themselves any favor. And as you said, it's about when we come to that place where we are ourselves, we can, then it's about serving our surroundings.
That's it. That's why we're here, to serve one another. Period. Right. So I appreciate that, Matthew. I appreciate that. So share with us what words, positive words that was said to you that helped shape you into being who you are now.
Yes. Now, I'm going to probably go on a few tangents here, but
okay.
A few things, because there's also things that weren't said and we might mix up a lot of topics. It's so interesting because I was in ministry for 20 years. Okay. So I did 10 years of training and education. I was a Catholic priest in active ministry for 20 years. And I remember at a moment when I was making a decision, I was discerning and trying to figure out what was the right place for me. My dad was a person of very few words. And that could be interpreted different ways, right? Like you said, the unspoken words, I sometimes wish that more things were said to me. But there was one moment when he said, I think he was watching TV and he just kind of turned over and said, I'm going to go back into ministry. This was during my sabbatical year. Are you going to go back into ministry or not? And I don't think I am. And he said, well, if your heart's not in it, then don't do it. And then he went back to watching TV. And so for me, those words were very important because it gave me permission. Because that decision, a decision like that affects a lot of people, inner circles and on the outer circles professionally, and so many people are affected. And because I care about people maybe too much, but I care about how people would be affected by my decision.
Right. It's your heart. Absolutely.
So the fact that he said that, and many people during those years of discernment and decision making, I had so many people that were very supportive. And that meant a lot to me. It gave me permission, according to what we're talking about, to really be me and not have to be what I felt obliged to be for other people, or because of commitments that I had made and very serious commitments, and or what people expected me to be. I did that for many years and I don't regret it. I don't regret it, you know, and I did a lot of good through that. But I also noticed how it wore me out over years. It was sort of like these chains that this whole thing about trying to please people and make people happy. It's almost like it's an addiction. And then, for lack of a better word, it can be an enslavement.
You're hitting the nail on the head.
And so you want to feel chained down by. And so not early on, but maybe midway through my life, then I realized this. I said, no, I can't live like under this enslavement of one. Because then I would overcommit and then I can't follow through. And then this isn't serving people well. Not serving myself well, but especially it's not serving other people well. So I got to learn how to say no. And there's always ways to say no, and there's respectful ways to say no. There's constructive, considerate ways to say no. It's when I said no, it's because I was saying yes to something that was more important or to my priorities. I use that because I think people find that very helpful, that when we think, oh, I don't like to say no, any choice requires a no to something else. And that when we have our priorities clear, when we say no to something, it's not because we want to say no, but it's because we want to say yes to a value, to a principle, to priorities.
And boundaries, right? And boundaries, you have to put boundaries in place.
Yes, very important. So many people that helped me with that. I remember a therapist, when I first started this journey of dealing with a lot of crisis and confusion in my own life, I remember I did a very deep personal assessment, a psychological assessment, and with a lot of different tests. And the therapist, and I include this because this is something that really helped me a lot, is giving me all the results. And then he painted this picture of where I was in life in the context of my whole story. And he made sense of it. I mean, it was the first time that I realized that, first of all, that I could accept, holy smokes, I'm in a really bad situation. I am in a crisis, a word that maybe I had been avoidant of. I am unwell. I am sick, right? Emotionally and mentally and psychologically and spiritually. There's a lot that I have not dealt with. And he put everything in context in a way that I could accept that and deal with it in a way that made sense, in a way that was very affirming. It was almost like a big sigh of relief. So holy smokes, now everything begins to make sense. But it also gave me permission to then to begin to look at it and to deal with it.
And that's so powerful. That's so empowering when you say, you know, it gave you permission to look at it and to deal with it. And so let me flip this question. And since we're in this space of you talking about the therapist and how you were dealing with you and working on you. So share with us an incident or a situation where some words were said to you that caused you to shut down and not be yourself.
Right. I would say, I don't know if I can give specific situations. I'll give a very, very simple example. But the general thing is that when people, I think just because of who I am in my spirit, in my heart, I don't react well to harsh anger. Now, there's anger that I can, the justified anger and passionate anger.
Right.
That all comes from usually from a very good place. But when harsh, sharp, critical words that are meant, at least are interpreted to mean to really hurt, and they're coming from not a good place, not well-intentioned, that makes me shut down. I shut down.
Can you share with our listeners, what kind of words are those? Like, give an example, because they may be hearing those words as well.
And I think the words that come across as very judgmental and critical about not what someone did, but who you are.
Right. Like you're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, you'll never be anybody, you're worthless.
Yes. Sadly, I don't have examples that come to me, but when I think back of when I shut down, it had to do with that. And it also had to do with when I felt that I was not understood, that I was misunderstood or judged, that would shut down a whole part of me where I would not show up as myself as a way to self-protection.
Absolutely. And that's innate in us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to protect ourselves first and foremost, especially if we feel like we're being attacked. So,
but with that, I also want to say, Dr. Grimes, is when, you know, if I'm corrected, correction is never easy to take, right? But when you know that it comes from a good place and from someone that cares and that someone's has your best interest, or that, you know, I really made a mistake and just I own it. That didn't make me shut down, right? And I just think it's somehow the intent that is behind it, or the way we say things. Or I often say, when with words, it's why we say it, when we say it, how we say it, and where we say it. Right. So motive is important. Timeliness is important. The form or the way we say it is important. And the location, the place. Right. Yeah. I think another thing that made me shut down is when someone would say something very harsh or hurtful in the presence of others.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Take you out the game.
A sensitive pride on my part, however you want to sort of look at it. But I always found that very full.
And I get it. And it never feels good when someone speaks to you in the presence of other and it's belittling. Like, no, I don't care who you talk to. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, you know, that made me feel good. No, it's not going. That's just not going to go that way.
Well, before you go on, another example of this is very interesting. I think some of your audience might relate to this, is when someone wants to tell you something, but they say it to someone else in your presence, right?
Yes.
That didn't go well with me. I said, why are you saying it to that person when the message is really for me?
For me, exactly. And you're not coming directly to me to say.
Yes, I think people, we do it as human beings because we find it easier to do that.
Absolutely.
You see it on TV shows. But I say that because I think our audience, we have to think, do I do that, right?
Right.
Do I tell a message to someone else so that telling my child, so that my spouse hears I'm saying there's a certain twist and an edge to that that is not helpful
at all. And so let's flip the script. And so, like I said, we can talk for days about what people said, how they said, how we felt, and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about what are some of the words that you use, right? Because I know I use words that inflict pain and hurt on someone. When I first introduced this topic to the podcast audience, I shared with words that I said to my goddaughter, and that caused me 5 years of a relationship. We were not in relationship. And so for a while, I thought I was right. And I inflicted some damaging words on her, right? So much to the point where I said before that if my husband wasn't present, I probably would have put my hands on her. Right. So it was not only the words, it was just the threat of you say anything out of your mouth, I'm gonna take all your teeth. Right. So with that, I know that we have the ability, because this is what we're talking about, to inflict hurt or pain on others. And so please share with us a situation, something that happened where you inflict pain or hurt.
Right. Thank you. You know, you give an example that you gave talking about yourself, and thank you for sharing that. When we're overtaken by passion, we have to be very careful. And as we know, that's probably not the right time to say words or to send a text or to write an email. I've probably done that my younger days. I've done that. Now I've learned to sit with things and let things sit 24, 48 hours. Usually the sting goes away and then it becomes much more rational and balanced. So generally, just because of my personality, I think I'm very balanced and I am measured in my words, but I've probably grown in that because for me, words are important, the way we say things. But now I'll share a few examples. There's probably many more that I don't remember. And sometimes I'm sure that probably hurt people, but they never told me. And I kind of wish they did, because that's a school of learning.
Right. And you know what, Matthew, let me just say this real quick too. We know when we're hurting. See, my intent was to hurt. I knew that. I wasn't caught off guard. No, I did. I intended to hurt. And I know that. And so I believe that we do. We know there are some times when that's not our intentions, but I'm talking about share with us the times when it was your intention, because we're not exempt from that.
Right. This might sound very, I don't know.
No, it won't. Just share. I know you're not alone.
Right. But it's hard for me. I don't know if I've ever had the intent to hurt. No, but I can say where I've made mistakes. And, you know, with one of my siblings, this goes back a few years, where I felt, going back to the whole thing about my decision, I felt misunderstood, or that my sibling was not telling me the things, that they were saying things behind my back, that they weren't in front of me. And so I called up the sibling and I say, hey, why aren't you saying these things? I was a bit on fire at the moment because I was sensitive to all these things. And I'm not going to just shut things down. In other words, I'm going to just not express it, because I had done that for many years. I just repressed things. I didn't say things. Those also build up. Now this, by going back, there's ways to say things. There's moments to say things. I didn't pick the right way or timing to talk about what I wanted to talk about. And that hurt our relationship.
Okay.
Sort of informally working with him and his fiance, but the relationship sort of went sideways where they weren't talking to her, right? And so the fiancés started to call me and mention a few things. And again, unintentionally, but I was, right, these people aren't talking. I need to give them good advice so that they kind of go their separate ways, or at least for a moment so that they can figure it out. But I think I overspoke. And then, you know, then she shared that with him. And then that made the relationship go bad for a while. Because I think there was a lot of misunderstanding about why I said what I said. You know, I should have just really just backed off and not gotten involved. There's two things I want to say. I don't think I've ever had the intent to hurt anyone with my words. Another thing that I do, because I do a lot of work with couples over the year, I have noticed, without being taking a risk here, because it's very gender specific, I have noticed that while men can do it as well, but women have a great power with words.
Oh, yes.
And for a man, the way that they can really hurt their spouse or a partner or a significant is with words. And for a man, although he might not say it because we all think we're strong and tough, but the words of an important woman to us, they are like daggers that go so.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that, because we play a role. It will have such a devastating impact. And see, my husband says, you're quick with your tongue, you're quick with your mouth, and I know I am, right? And so I have to be very cautious when there's a disagreement, or like, I have to, like, literally, I'm paying close attention to the words that I use, because I know of, I've done it before, right? And I recognize the scar or the mark that I left. And it took time for the thing about words is once they're said, you can't unsay it. You can't unsay it. I appreciate that so much that you made that point.
Very important point. And when I bring it up with couples, it really makes a lot of sense to them, because when they might not realize we're different, right? And oftentimes women, because they're in their emotional state or their passionate state, you know, they get all wound up for justifiable reasons or whatever, but then they begin to throw out all these daggers. And then they feel better because they were able to express, but then there's a lot of damage done. And then they don't remember that they said something, but the man remembers.
Oh, you know what? Because from their perspective, it's just like, so I do the emotional wellness. I'm into emotions and feelings and helping people to manage that. And one of the things that we talk about emotions, we do three things. We suppress or repress, we express, or we escape. And so even when we say express, then express is not a positive thing. We express, just like you were sharing, we express in that way, we get our point across, but yet there's still some underlying issues that we have to deal with. And so when we come from that point or either avoiding point, we're always throwing blame. No, it's not me. So we can't see our faults at all. So I get exactly what you're saying. And then being married for 28 years, I'm aware of it, because I am now like really aware of my words and what am I saying and what am I putting out there, not only to strangers, but to the people that I love. I want to make sure that my words land and land in the right place and land softly. And if they land in a place that causes a wound, I need to own that. And I want to not only own that, I need to give that space for them to heal, right? Give that permission, not give them permission, but give them that space to allow it to heal, but do my part, own it, take full responsibility of it, and ask for forgiveness, and then let them get to the place where they can forgive, and not me push it forward or, okay, hurry up with your forgiveness. No, I'm going to give you all that you need. So I really appreciate that statement that you made.
Thank you. No, it's such a good topic, right? And then you work to build bridges again. But you know, some women, they don't understand when a man escapes to his cave, but sometimes it's because of that.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And so it's about being aware. Like, that is so huge. And I only think I know that as human beings, we walk around unaware, although we're physically conscious, but we're unconscious when it comes to certain things, because it's not important enough for us to really be aware of it, or to say, oh, like, wow, this hurts. And so when you speak of the couple, I think it's on point. Absolutely.
We have blind spots.
Absolutely. I got two more questions that I want to ask you before we bring this to a close.
Well, I did want to say, I just remember maybe with one person whom I had an intention to hurt, maybe an unconscious intention. And it was probably growing up with my mother. So yeah, that I would like to have some of those times back where I would probably said harsh things, right? Whether it be the teenage years or even just after that. I and my mother, there was difficult times to get along with. But you kind of know, and this is going back.
Did you ever hit her with, I hate you?
No.
Okay.
But going back to what you said, sometimes in the inner circles, in the intimate circles of the people that are closest to us, where we're least careful with our words.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. Are there any unspoken words that you know you should have said or you need to say?
Yes.
What are they?
This is a bit generic. I've learned over life, also because of ministry, I think it opened up a lot of windows for me, is the importance of not leaving things unsaid. I've had to deal, death puts everything in perspective. And I learned a lot at dealing with people who lost loved ones. I learned a lot about things that were left unsaid. And so I try to be very proactive about this, whether it's asking for forgiveness, whether it's dealing with an issue that people don't want to deal with, being proactive, whether it's saying being gracious and showing gratitude and thanksgiving, whether it's showing affirmations and value. Now, but this is also something that I can do much more. In my family setting, it's more uncomfortable because we didn't grow up in a family like that, right? It's harder to do that. It's harder for me to say to my siblings that I love them, even though that we didn't grow up in that. It's a muscle that I haven't really educated and trained. And so that's something that I want to continue to learn to do better, but definitely to really let people know how much they are appreciated. Well, I am for things. There's something that I think I've done, but I want to continue to do better.
Absolutely. So now let me ask you this. How do you manage your tongue? How do you manage your words and what you're saying? And then I want to ask you this. Then also, what advice would you give someone who is struggling with saying positive words? They're always saying something negative. So how do you manage your tongue? And what advice would you give someone else who is struggling with positive words?
Yes, thank you. I think, again, part of it has to do with personality, my background, upbringing, and also just having been in ministry. So I'm not very spontaneous with my words. I think I take times. Now, some people aren't like that. And I don't want people, because some people, I love their spontaneity, right? Their spark that they have about them. And I wish I had that oftentimes. So I am very cautious. That's why I think about what I'm going to say. And so now that helps me, right? It helps me to be thoughtful in the way I say things and to try to be prudent and aspects of wisdom, and that people maybe I'm not as talkative as others, take my words with maybe more importance or give them more weight because they know I don't say as many and they know that I took time to think about them. Okay. Something that, you know, from scripture that you didn't mention that has always meant a lot to me is the person that does not sin with their tongue is a perfect person. What helps me is the fact that I reflect, I think, I try to not let emotions and passions, the few times that I've let emotions and passions get the better of me, that's helped me to pull the reins on that. And because of the positions that I was in, I knew that my words had more weight, right? Whether it be in ministry, as an officer, as a chaplain, or just because of the position, they have more weight. And I'm saying this because if you have listeners that are out there that are in positions of authority, that's an added factor that gives weight to words. And we don't always think about that. No, it's just me. No, it's not just you. It's you. But with this title, this position of authority, if it's in a family circle, if you're the parent or if you are a teacher, or if you're in a faith circle, in a faith leader, holy smokes, your words have so much more power, and wield them with caution and with great love.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Please share with our listeners, those who are watching, how can someone get in contact with you? Because you have a vast experience in coaching, right? You do so much and you have a lot of wisdom. So for people who are listening and they want to connect with you, how can they go about doing that?
Thank you, Dr. Grimes. Yes, they can find me on LinkedIn at Matthew Brackett, Facebook, Matthew Brackett Official. Also, I'm Instagram, Matthew Brackett Official. They can follow me there. And on my website, brackettalliance.com. I offer two types of service, more the individual coaching geared towards, as you said at the beginning, to people in leadership roles in any sector, but meeting them really at integrating their personal and professional so that they don't sacrifice their priorities, but rather keep their priorities sacred for front and center. And then there's the speaking element, the conferences, public speaking, workshops, and things like this, all about leadership. And when I speak leadership, it's, you know, how I lead myself, how I lead in my intimate circles, how I lead in my outer circles, and then in organizational context. And so there's all those different levels of leader. So managing the human element in our own lives or in the lives of others, personally and professionally, those are all the sort of the subtopics of leadership. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so awesome. Thank you so much again for saying yes. Will you please give some closing remarks, or what is it like? I call it like a tidbit of juiciness, but give a nugget or something that our listeners who have been listening can take away. What is it, the one thing that you want them to take away from the conversation and what you have to offer as far as what you have already shared?
Right. Thank you so much. I am very passionate about this topic. I'm very passionate about kindness and about dignity, because as human beings, and I think nowadays with what social media is doing and then the media, mainstream media in general, is we've lost a lot of kindness and courtesy as human beings. And we've lost a lot of our dignity in the way we carry ourselves and the way we express ourselves. So responsibility and respect. These are all values that we have, right? And I think we overvalue freedom, which we sort of interpret as I can say whatever I want. No, we've got to run it through a few filters, right? And responsibility, respect, the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated, right? And our dignity of human beings. Going back to something I read in scripture that made me think of this, sort of filters to put our words through, is what I'm going to say good? Is it timely? Is it constructive? And is it loving? Even if it's hard, right? When I talk to professionals, giving feedback, it can come from a place of love and care. And that's why I say leadership is love and love is leadership. So what I'm going to say, is it good? Is it timely? Is it constructive? And is it loving? Even if it's hard love, but is it loving? And going back to what I said before, what's the motive? Am I saying it in the right time, in the right way, and in the right place or location?
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for saying yes to being on our podcast and showing up, being authentic and unapologetically you. We truly, truly appreciate you. And so again, thank you for sharing with our audience and our listeners. We truly are grateful.
Thank you, Dr. Grimes. I am too. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, you guys. So we know that there are many, many things that we can say that's good, that's bad. We know that. We know how we're showing up. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. We can act like we don't know, but we know. We know how we show up. And so my question is, how many words would you say you are away from totally ruining someone else's life, totally wrecking someone else's life? How many words? How many words, right? Because we know it's easy. Like, we can sit here all day and talk about the words that someone said to us and how it made us feel. But it's not easy for us to sit here and talk about how we made someone else feel with our words, because we have to be mindful that words, they carry weight. Our words carry weight, and they are not equally weighted. And the source, we're talking about weight. So what determines the weight? The source does. The source determines the weight. And so we know that it is easy. It is so easy to lose yourself in today's clashing ideas, conflicting belief, and the flood of information. With society's rigid expectations and endless opinions, self-expression and self-appreciation can feel challenging and daunting, to say the least. And most of the time, what do? We escape, we run from it, we avoid it, we push it down, we hide, or we just go with the flow, right? And going with the flow is not always a good thing. But you are you. You are you unapologetically. And that means being true to you, being true to who you were created to be, being true to yourself and not allowing people's opinions to affect how you show up in life, right? We all know that people are going to talk about us regardless. They are. And so what do? Let them talk. Let them talk. It's okay, because we don't have the time, nor do we have the space or the patience to be intimidated by the presence of others and think so little of ourselves, think so little of yourself. So when you show up without pretense and hesitation, the world cannot, they cannot dull your glamour. They can't touch you. When you show up without pretense, and most importantly, you will be inspired, you will be moved, you will be empowered to shine your light and to share it, right? And when you share it, you're helping others, and you want others to tap into their light, into their own brilliance. So we're about putting an end to the disparaging mindset And we're about beginning to own our authentic self. That's what you are all about. You are you unapologetically. That's what it's all about. So we will continue to have these conversations. So please join me here. We create a safe space where we initiate influential conversations. We want to talk about you being you. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That's what we want to talk about. Why? Because you are you unapologetically. And no one, absolutely no one, is better at being you. So be you unapologetically. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you on the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye for now. Yay.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.